Okay, so welcome again, everybody. And we're here today to consider the idea of scaling up. Okay, it's been told to me that this idea has come from Will Hopkins himself. And the words that we've been asked to consider today are these. We come together inspired by the vision of transition. We start tree planting projects, we skilling groups and so on. If we're serious about making transition happen on the scale required, do we need to step up a level to make new businesses, new livelihoods and infrastructure? Are those initially drawn to transition equipped to even take that step, and what holds us back? And I'd like to invite those who are at the table just to bounce ideas around.
Yes.
Yes, we're equipped.
Yes, we'd like to scale up.
Oh, yes, we'd like to.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest blocks in our group is lack of time to focus on transition. If we can do it in a way that we can gain our livelihood by doing transition, then we can really push forward and really grow it. So using things like social enterprises, small community-based businesses, which are creating environmental change, just, to me, seems like a no-brainer. We've got to do it.
No, I quite agree. Yeah, I mean, I'm really exploring at the moment the way that rather than travelling all over the country to do my job, I could do the same job in my community sustainably. And it's scary, really it's scary. It's nice to have an employer that makes you do that, but it's very hard to take that leap and just trust your community to generate your income.
The experience I've had in the group I'm involved with is that I think there's a tension between, the kind of environmental activist and the kind of business entrepreneur, and there's that tension is it can be quite strong sometimes, and I think the challenge is to try and bring the two tendencies together, and we create a kind of environmental entrepreneurship. You know, business does not have to be a bad name, which I think it can be.
I think that is a real kind of an interesting thing. In terms of who's already in the groups that we're working with, they probably tend to be less of the entrepreneurs. Mm. And yet we're increasingly having those conversations where we need to encourage people to think more entrepreneurially so they can set up businesses, so they can look after their own livelihoods in a kind of transition-y type of way. And I don't think we don't have the kind of history of experience of doing that ourselves, of trusting that kind of income to the community, that there'll be ways to find a living without an employer. So I think that's a challenge for everyone who's involved at the moment.
There's a massive upsurge at the moment in new community enterprises. Mm-hmm. So businesses owned and run by their communities, but the relationship of the community with that enterprise, in my experience, tends to be as a customer, as a consumer. And we need to find a way to bring the worker into that as well. That's kind of the big challenge.
Yeah, my concern is that the community doesn't get it. And particularly what you might call suburban London, where everybody's commuting, there is no connectivity with the community. So unless they get it as a consumer, they haven't got the time to be involved.
But isn't it enough for them to just be a consumer? I mean, because if you're buying, your waste services or your energy service or your food from a local community-based group, you are inevitably starting to get it. You're starting to see those connections. And if I imagine I'm running a community-supported agriculture group and I'm in there, there are all sorts of messages I can get across to my customers. And if that customer base is broad enough, then you're really starting to reach out and create that cultural change that we need.
Because it's also about shifting from being consumers to being producers as well, you know, is what you're saying. And some of the really interesting projects that are kind of kicking up are those that, where we start to take you know, kind of manufacturing and production of things into our own hands and start producing things ourselves.
Just on the, not that I want to come across as being negative all the time, just on the kind of the barriers to that, you know, I don't know, and this is the kind of impression that I get, that there are various constraints. If you want to become a producer, if you want, you know, there are legal, there are laws around the health and safety, there's hygiene, there's all sorts of things about trading, and how much of a barrier is that to people in kind of in your experiences to actually start, you know, crossing that divide between consumer and producer?
I think it is a really big barrier. In my day job, what I'm trying to do is create a social franchise, which is basically a way of making it easier for people to set up their own community-based enterprise. So that's around zero waste. And the problem is making the maths work. You know, can you get enough income by going around and getting people's waste? Waste, that magic resource which we call waste. And can you get the agreement? There's an awful lot of work in there. You've got to get the agreement of your local authority, and you've got to get all the waste permits and manage the health and safety. So one way we're looking at it is to basically create a franchising system. So rather than getting your McDonald's franchise, you get your zero waste franchise, and that helps. That gives you all the tools that you need. It doesn't mean to say you've still got to be a nutter who's prepared to work 60 hours a week minimum, and have your mate there who's prepared to work 60 hours a week as well to make it work. But I think there are ways coming which will help.
There's a real interesting conversation to be had around replication in terms of not just getting bigger, but of producing more versions of yourselves. And certainly some people within the sort of big society government part of it are looking, they love the idea of franchising because they can create an empty community enterprise and just pour the community into it. And I don't think that's really sustainable. It'll work a bit, but a lot of these enterprises, they need to come from the grassroots, and the people really need to own them. Whereas with the traditional franchises, you know, I buy a franchise and it's me working my socks off in order to do it to make money, really. And communities, I don't think they're going to go for that. So people like Growing Communities are looking at replicating Incredible Edible Todd, and to a certain extent Transition, really. It's almost like they're creating a brand that's saying, here's a brand, this is what we did. What version of it are you going to create? And a more of a viral spread. And I think that will be more sustainable.
So what are the key things that they have in their process that gets the community involved?
Who are we talking about now?
Well, pick one of them.
Yeah. Oh, like Growing Communities?
Yeah.
Well, the key thing about them is they can point to the fact that they're totally grant independent. They can point to the money they've got in their bank in order to... and they can tell a story, really. They can tell an inspiring story. A bit like we heard about Sustainable Dunbar. This morning I'm immediately thinking, how can I do my version of that in my community? It's just that sort of thing. Yes, I can do that. And there's some people who've been over the barriers that I am perceiving now, and they've obviously solved them, so they can help me.
I think we can learn from, you know, those trailblazing challenges. But, you know, Janine, you talked about the skill shortage. And, you know, aside from, say, you know, I've just heard about today about, you know, the Liverpool School of Entrepreneurs, and you know, there are other examples in, is it Denmark, the Chaos Pilots, and, you know, we obviously need those kind of initiatives. But also, you know, there's been a lot of talk about how transition groups can work with the local council, but also we should be developing partnerships with local businesses who do have those business and entrepreneurial skills. And they will also be looking for solutions to help them through, you know, the sort of economic challenges that they'll be facing with the, you know, the current situation. So, you know, I think there's potential there to kind of develop kind of new types of partnerships as well through local businesses.
I'm interested in the things have started small in our sector and local, and we tend to talk about small local projects. And I think we need to be taking a step back and looking at how we can get our movement so that we're controlling our own destinies, we're generating income, rather than looking at small-scale things in our communities. And there's two initiatives that sort of people have been talking about that I'm really keen to explore. One is all of the big charities who are interested in our work. Instead of them investing their money, their savings in banks, investing them in wind power in a community partnership. So they're using their money to generate income. Some of that income goes into the communities as a sustainable long-term income fund and isn't just sitting in banks making money for folk who've already got quite a lot of money. And the other is looking creatively at some big funds like the Dormant Bank Accounts Fund. We can either all push forward for ideas to spend it on great little local initiatives. When the money's gone, it's gone. But if instead we bought wind turbines or we bought something else, what we'd be buying is a source of income for the long term and taking that control into our own ownership.
And I think that's the key, having independence, as you were saying earlier, with say it was green communities,
growing communities.
Yeah. But it's being able to have the resources to make things happen and not constantly having to be stopping and getting funding and running out of resource and energy.
There's also the other option as well. And I mean, I do like small.
Yeah.
And I just think all we need is millions of small businesses. And there is a temptation to go for the big thing and go for the big grants. And that, I love that phrase you used earlier. Was it vanity projects? and we've all seen them where
vanity
you get some
projects.
Funding that pays someone's wages for 2 years and something brilliant happens that's doing lovely things and then the funding ends and then it all falls over and leaves a community.
And I think there's nothing wrong with vanity projects if they're doing a good job, but as long as you recognise that's what they are, that they're always going to need pump priming and money in. And if we had enough money, we could choose to do that. But I think not dressing them up as though they're going to lead to sustainability.
And if we are going to have thousands of businesses grown up from the community and working, how are we going to link them together so they can share that learning and...
That was what I was just about to say, because the other level to scaling is how do we then look at secondary structures? So, for instance, there's a little bit of critical mass down in the southwest at the moment around community-supported agriculture projects. They've got neighbours now that are doing the same things. So then they'll start to look at, basically setting up traditional agricultural co-ops. Rather than we all have a tractor, why don't we own a tractor between us? Why don't we pool our produce? You can grow one sort of produce. And that will happen organically, because it's basically driven by the need, the financial need of the organisations.
I think it's worth, I guess, thinking about how initiatives that have done this already and succeeded already share this with those who haven't, and also that we think about the differences between doing this in, say, a market town and in a part of London, and also if you live in a big city, what counts as local. So there were, like, the group that I'm involved in, the transition initiative that I'm involved in, there were two groups of us that explored local livelihoods, and one are doing, they're doing draft busting and they're getting paid by the council to do it, and it's going really well. But I don't think for any of them it's like a full-time livelihood yet. Mm-hmm. It's like a bit of their livelihood. And there was another thing which was that we explored, which was scaling up our food production and supplying local supermarkets. But we worked out that in London and in the context of like rent and everything like that, it was kind of very unsustainable. Like it wasn't going to produce anything like a livelihood unless we scaled it up to the point where it wasn't that local anymore. So I guess it would be good to kind of maybe within transition, I don't know if this happens already, have some kind of like training or a kind of sharing, twinning thing between different initiatives where we can go and like learn from initiatives that have done this already and kind of like learn from their business plans and that kind of thing, because I think for a lot of people, if you don't have business experience and if you do something entirely different from what you would do in transition, it's like a massive leap to make, like financially and practically and skills wise. But I think it's so important, because for me, I think this, like, this scaling up step is the thing that takes it out of being activism and the thing that makes it real in people's lives. And you know, is actually the change.
I've worked in the past in the housing movement, housing cooperatives and housing associations, and one of the things that that sector has, which I think is really important, is something called the National Tenants Resource Centre, which is based in Chester, but services the whole of the UK. And tenants from all over the country can come there, and there is a huge resource pool, and there's business plans, and there's information, and any group that produces anything sends it there, so there's a big resource. They hold training courses and things that they cross-share information, and it's a place where you meet like-minded people and pick up skills. So actually having a physical base where you can store things and go and meet, I think would be a really good starting point.
In addition, just before I leave the table, I want to short plug for localunited.net, mm-hmm. which is, if you look on their website, they've got business plans for basically community activists trying to set up enterprises, and it's a good start, and they're trying to set up a network of mentors across the country.
Great.
Yeah, I thought I would just start out by saying that I think in England, United States, anywhere that's part of the Industrial Revolution in 200 years, we are at that point of failing infrastructure. This infrastructure just starting, like bridges are collapsing. It happened in Minneapolis recently. This is actually a prime opportunity for scale-up, mm-hmm. of making sure that we move, instead of building the same bridge back, why not go to something that's more innovative, that mm-hmm. maybe something that's more mass transit-oriented, or that would have bikes going across those bridges now instead of just cars, where they were designed that way back in the 1960s. Same thing with nuclear power plants, coal power plants. All of these are about to go offline, and the governments are becoming desperate to continue those, and they keep extending these, and basically they're very inefficient to begin with. This is a really prime opportunity to get with local governments and say, we don't want the same thing again. We want to move to the next thing. Mm-hmm. So I think scale-up is a great potential.
There's so much empty property, you'd have thought. Yeah. There ought to be potential in those. I mean, just if you go through any reasonably sized city, there are so many office blocks which are empty. And I always think when I go when I see them, that's a wasted opportunity. And there are so many things that you could do with that. There's so much wasted energy that's gone into that. And rather than just building new things, just kind of try and work out how you can use those to develop transition ideas.
One of the things that came up in the workshop that we just did about the ingredients of transition was that I had that sense that sometimes transition groups get to a stage where it feels like it's all kind of going a bit flat. And that one of the things that was interesting looking at Norwich was that actually they had a bit where it felt like it was all getting a bit flat, and then it was when they started some quite meaningful bigger projects like a CSA and energy stuff that had that social enterprise thing, that was what pulled them up and re-energized the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it's been very interesting in Totnes over the last year, when we've really made social enterprise the sort of push of what we're doing, is how a whole load of people who've been sort of around Transition Town Totnes since the beginning in the town, but have never really got involved, all sort of started coming out of the woodwork. It's now you're ready for me to come. Yeah. You know, and actually what really intrigues me with this question is, I think there's certainly quite a few people who come to transition from that very sort of more kind of radical alternative sort of perspective. And my sense of having spent a lot of time in that world is that there is an inbuilt resistance to the idea that you make a commercially viable, that you write a business plan, that you focus on it, that you do something which has that longer term economic viability. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I'm part of the idea with this as a question was, how do you shift that culture? And I think it's really, and I think from doing the new book and that idea of transition going through stages, it feels like it's where this moves towards, and it's been fascinating over these few days to hear so many stories of that starting to happen.
I think sometimes it's like the models of success, if we can put out there things that are succeeding in any of our communities and share that, it does inspire others and think, oh yes, well, we could do that, we could replicate it, we can learn from that and do it a bit differently. Yeah. And I think that helps with the push as well.
In some ways, I think that what you're saying is very true, but it's not just practical things like community-supported agriculture, but actually the awareness raising almost needs to be a business in itself, the education, because I think in Norwich, one of the things that I constantly feel as though I'm coming up against is that people just don't know about it and don't know anything, don't know what we are and haven't seen enough people. And that actually, if there was a kind of outreach program showing films and things that was financially viable within itself, you know, you charge people to come and see the films, and that keeps the whole thing going, then that might be a solution which makes it run in the long term rather than it just being show a few films and that's it, mm-hmm. which is kind of what happened.
Because I think there's a culture of if everything's voluntary and you get people who are putting a lot of time into it, then it creates like a layer of activism in itself, and it means that people who have less time or other commitments in their lives can't get involved. And I think this whole thing is a way of changing that. But also what you said about the projects, like if we create social enterprises or businesses, the thing maybe that saves it from being seen as just another business, even if it's a sustainable business, is that business, that social enterprise or project doing a lot of outreach about itself and a lot of information sharing about itself, so that people in that community understand it as something different. So like if you have, an example of something like a shop, a community bakery or whatever, that people understand that bakery as different and having a different philosophy around it than like any other bakery, basically.
I think one of the things that you're sort of talking about is that the transition initiative needs to be able to justify itself to its projects as being useful and truly a project support project that they're prepared to pay 10% of their earnings or if they get grant funding too. And that, at the stage we're at, we've got lots of projects and the energy kind of centrifuges out to the projects, and the people who are trying to do the project support stuff in the middle are victims of the volunteer, you know, we're mostly volunteers, some of us pretty full-time, and that can end up being a bit of a hole in the middle. And we need to sort of turn transition initiatives into a social enterprise such that we can pay people to do the books, pay people to do the events, and the projects see our value and say, we want to belong to this as a community focusing entity, as a carrier of the message of why we're doing it. And we realise the Brixton Pound has got Transition Town Brixton on each corner, but it's not bigged up on the transition message, and that was a decision. But maybe we should have redecided it once it was launched and said, bah, 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 this is a transition project and it's about currency collapse. And no, not about currency collapse. It's about transitioning to a good low-energy future. And I think that is a real challenge for initiatives at a certain stage to know how to reinvent themselves and move through that, because we've got lots of projects but we haven't managed quite to re-energise the centre.
But do you think that thing of the groups not being happy to maybe tithe a percentage back in to support the core work because they see there's a value in that, or they'd rather just sort of go off and kind of get on with their own thing, that that's because there's a kind of an instinctive revulsion about being commercial and transition Brixton being something commercial, or is it a deeper kind of cultural thing, and what do you think that might be?
I think it's that we forget to ask them to do it. and we certainly, we forget to ask them to put 10% in their their grants. Just on the whole, we've got £14,000 for a local transportation. And I've sat in there and I've worked, I'm getting it up, and I'm going to have to carry on working to make sure. and we haven't put a penny for Transition Town Brixton in the budget. Bonkers.
That's right. I mean, the money is there. It's just whether it gets spent and where it's being spent in the right place or not. And sometimes you've got to speak up and say, let's funnel it this way rather than that way.
But also we have to be functional so that they go, God, you know, I really want this to be a transition project, and I want us to say we are the local part of Transition Town Brixton. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have to be making sure that we upskill on all the social enterprise stuff. You know, I mean, for us last year, employment was the biggest single challenge that we met. It was just full of hurdles and, you know, you almost feel like we'll do this without employing anyone ever again. It's simpler that way. But we can't. Obviously, we've got to professionalise.
I'd like to add two other pieces to the mix of the discussion. One is livable wage. I think that often people who work for nonprofits or for that kind of community enterprise aren't really making quite enough to support themselves in the community. And the other piece is that as we think about what enterprises to support, is it something that's really needed in the community? You know, people talk about fair trade, but often you go to a fair trade store and they're little crafty items that you don't really need, and so should we be buying them anyway? So how do we do that discernment process to make sure, what is it that the community really wants and needs and will support at a level that will provide the good jobs?
And I think there's a whole discussion to be had, which is quite uncomfortable really, about what is a living wage, because obviously different people have different expectations of what a living wage is. And I think it's also very difficult in a project or within the tradition, the transition sort of core group or whatever, to make that decision around paying people when you haven't paid people in the past. And it causes a lot of sort of anxiety and uncomfort as to who gets paid, how much they get paid, and how quickly will everyone else get paid. And I think there's we've sort of, within our CSA project, we didn't pay anyone. We had workshops, we didn't pay anyone, and we realised the mistake that then it was quite hard to suddenly start paying someone because everyone else, well, why can't I get paid? I do voluntary work too. So in the second social enterprise, the food hub, which is copying sort of Stravco, we made the decision from the start that we will pay a manager a sort of 20 hours a week wage, which we thought was a living wage. Mm-hmm. But it's caused a lot of tension. I think it's really important to get it right from the beginning, is what I'm saying, because it's hard to sort of start to do that retrospectively.
I'd like to respond to the how do we decide. In my state of Vermont in the U.S., we have had a livable wage campaign. So there has been research to say, here's the hourly amount that somebody needs to earn in order to pay for rent and food and all the basics and live at a comfortable, not grand, but that they can pay for everything that they need.
I don't know of anything of that we've had in our area at all. And we've had lots of, everyone has just such very, very, even within transition, people have very different expectations of, size of houses, how many cars, how many holidays, and it's just a very difficult discussion to have with people that you don't normally, for most people, they don't go into a job debating the salary. I know some people do, but most people get a job that's advertised at a certain wage, and then suddenly turning to being the employers and yourself setting the wage is a very different situation for many of us that we haven't been in that position.
Mm-hmm. I think it might be a very scary thing to venture into a new business idea, perhaps at your age. I'm 23. I'm 23. And I've been at Durham University for 5 years, and I've just done 2 years of that, was a master's by research on local food. So now I'm trying to make that research my career because I am the expert on local food in County Durham because there's nobody else who knows anything about it, really. And so I think people like me who leave university and many of them even with a master's, have to go on job seeker's allowance and benefits. We're prepared to have a job. And I was very, very fortunate in that my research was funded by One North East, which is a regional development agency, which is being disbanded soon. But that was a fantastic opportunity to get a university student to do research with the community and for the community, and everyone benefited from it.
Mm-hmm.
Just so what you were talking about needs. We've talked about what's the alternative to the growth economy, which is based on throughput and creating demand, and we've talked about the resilience economy. But I often find myself talking about the needs-based economy. In other words, the primary thing we have to do is to supply our real local needs using local resources, local skills, as far as we can. And then when we've done that as far as we can, we can then look at where we get the rest of our local needs from. And that sometimes, I think, I mean, a lot of people now are looking at, is my job viable? Is my long, am I going to be redundant? If I am, I could ship somewhere where there's still that kind of job. Or I could start, if I'm sufficiently hooked into my community, I can start looking around at what are the needs in my local community that I might want to supply using local resources. And I think we need to be creating an environment where that inquiry is just bubbling all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are going to be looking at this as the future of employment, in fact. It's not just a lower wage that I'm accepting. I'm actually moving into the sustainable employment sector. The need ain't going to go away.
Mm.
And I just have to work out if I can live on doing it.
So how do we make it bubble? I mean, are there, for sort of climate change and peak oil, we had sort of recommended resources of films we could show and you know, sort of things we could do. Should we be thinking of the types of activities or short films?
Or the needs,
listing
the needs and have a conversation.
MEF has some very useful resources on that, around the leaky bucket thing, where you look at the inputs and the outputs and the flows within your community. And it's often just completely startling how, I mean, for instance, in London, how
does it work in London?
Well, 94% of people in London are working in the service industry, and some huge percentage of that is the financial services industry. And, you know, if that's going to do a car industry in Detroit, then there's a lot, you know, there's going to be a huge proportion of people in London who are on pre-elevated incomes who are looking around with nowhere to go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, yet, you know, we still have to eat, and we've still got a lot of waste land and waste properties, and to actually list the local resources. One of the things we came to in London is that, what are the city resources? They're people who carry creativity and time and ability to work, and waste to a large extent. And then there are pockets, you know, waste space, you know, waste roofs, and you can look at then turning all those to usefulness, so turning waste into usefulness. They're putting potentially waste people and waste stuff together, and suddenly you've got a potential creative explosion. You know, it's an area of real rethinking, which isn't being done anywhere else, really, as far as I can see.
Is there room for transition enterprise in a box, as it were, a template that can be adapted?
I mean, at last year's conference, I was very inspired by what was happening in Totnes, which was the Transition Together, and Hal did an amazing workshop on transition livelihoods, which was about creating the local web that connected the different... So if you have a project that needs space, there is a development corner of the web that can go, oh, we can give you some short-term space, and we can help you design your long-term space, and we can find you, you know... And then somebody else, they need transport, and there's a transport arm here, and they're already connected up. And that's what the Central Transition Initiative, or the enterprise person, or the Transition Together person, needs to be doing. And that's why it's really important that we hold that centre, and we don't let it centrifuge. And then when all the projects are cooking, they all go, oh, we really ought to be talking to each other, aren't we? How are we going to do that? You know, too late. Should have created it as an expanding web, and then it kind of will hold together. I think that's the challenge that I'm really keen to learn how to do.
Yeah, sure.
And I think it comes back to me to sort of this sort of tension as to who is involved in transition at the moment. And, you know, I know in our group we have had the sort of classic dilemma that some people don't think that transition groups should be doing business. And so it's how we get over that, you know, and how we really can...
It's going to be forced, though, because I can't see the funding. There's so many of these groups depend on funding from somewhere. I can't see it lasting. I can't... Even the feeding tariff, I can't see that lasting 25 years, or whatever it is, but... So that's going to force people to look at business as well, although it would be nice to be prepared ahead of time.
Yeah. Well, I think the New Economic Foundation's resources, in a way, present business in a different way, don't they? Because they do stress the sort of social and environmental. So I think their resources, I agree, are really useful to sort of present business as being sort of, you know, not the enemy and being the solution.
Yeah. And are the legal entities that are available to everyone... Are they perfect for come back for our situation? Because it feels like we're kind of fitting into a Victorian standard so often.
Sorry, I got excited then and didn't hear the question.
Are the legal entities available for these enterprises?
Yeah.
Are we fitting into a sort of square box?
Whatever you want to do, there's a legal tool that you can pick up to do it.
Right.
Really. But it's not the same legal tool for everybody.
Yeah. Is there an easier tool? So you either have to be a charity or you have to be a... Well, even if you've got shareholders, then you have to...
Right, there's three things going on when groups get to this stage. You've got a legal vehicle, the thing that you... The sort of container that you put yourself in, really, like a company or a society or a community interest company. There's what you really want to do, your organisational model, so which is the thing, you know, the stuff that... the people on the ground are excited about. And then there's charity is a completely different thing again. It's just a status. It's a thing you can apply for, and if you tick the right boxes, you can get charitable status, and you're exempt from corporation tax and 8% mandatory rate reduction. But it is a very complicated landscape. I understand it after quite a long time, and I really enjoy explaining it to other people.
Good.
But I wouldn't expect ever, because you only do it once, so why become an expert in it just to do it once?
I'm not from the UK, but I'm wondering somehow, you're always talking about social enterprises, about like entrepreneur activities, but sometimes I'm wondering why we're not thinking about a kind of public companies, where like the state is more or less the local government is the owner, which employs people, especially for like energy production. That would really make sense to me, because you don't need a private company, even not a social entrepreneur business. You would need somebody which is somehow like covered by the municipality, because the municipality for me is the representation of the people living in that space.
Maybe a matter of trust.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
But I think building on that, I really think somebody said we need to be having these really challenging conversations. So for me, and the issue of the young person, I mean, all our young people who haven't got jobs, and I think it is, we are talking about transition, we need to be sitting down together and having some of these really difficult conversations, and maybe that is a contribution of transition to this really challenging period where in the UK a lot of jobs have gone from the public sector, and that did employ a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, how are we going to live in the future? For me, it's a real issue. And the one thing I want to add to it is that I think, you know, we don't want to be back in a growth economy. If we're not about growing so that we need three planets, what are we doing? And, you know, who's having those debates? And it is maybe the contribution of transition, that how do we have jobs and we have a decent standard of living, because I think that's what most of us would like, without sort of three or four planets worth of resources. So, you know, I think it's some of those meta questions or the bigger questions that I think this debate contributing to.
I think possibly we need to even be thinking more radically, because... Mm-hmm. If you're trying to bolt creating lots of social enterprise type jobs, which probably won't sensibly be paying huge wages, you can't bolt that onto living the way that we do now. Mm. So maybe transition needs to be looking at a whole new way of living, living more cooperatively, so that your actual living costs are less, and therefore you need to earn less, and you have probably more free time as well.
I quite agree with that. I think it's a bit like the energy thing. It's not that we need to find a way to generate this amount of energy we use, and we need to find a way to be less dependent on it as well. So we need to basically downsize our need for money.
Exactly, yeah.
Having said that, there are social enterprises that do pay very decent wages. Suma Whole Foods pays its workers for basically what is warehouse work, £28,000 a year. And a Christmas bonus. That's another couple of thousand.
Not had another one like that, though. But particularly for young people who, you know, we've got this huge wadge of young people who've got enormous debts, although apparently it's not a debt, it's more like a graduate tax now, but that's another argument. But they've got they haven't even got a rung on the ladder. And in a way, they've got to think more radically, and they've got to think, we don't want to go down the route of get the mortgage, do this, do that, get the Ford Capri, as it was in my day. They've got to think of new village, even if it's in the middle of a city, they've got to think of new village type, more community-based living, which automatically reduces costs, because you can have reduced cost housing, reduced cost energy, reduced cost childcare, which is a huge biggie. And then you actually don't need to earn as much to have a very nice standard of living. That's my ideal. I will let you lot sort
of. I'm a graduate, but in basically exactly that position, and I really want to do something. I hate not having a job. I hate being unemployed, having to go to an office to pick up, you know, scraps of money that has come from taxpayers. I don't want that. I'd much rather be doing something, and doing something in this very sustainable way, where I am offering my time, my expertise, which I've now got a reasonable amount of expertise in architectural engineering from my degree, but I need somewhere to use it, but I need support. I can't just go out and do that because, you know, I don't know that much about business, even if I know about architecture. I need support from business advisors, but not only business advice, how to do it, but financial support as well. Because all the time while I'm trying to set up a business, I've got to support myself. I'm currently in the position that I've either got to run a car and live at my parents, or I've got to pay rent. And I can't afford to do both, really. So I don't like being in that position. And so I need support from that point of view. Maybe somebody could put me up for a time, but there needs to be that kind of support network.
So I'd like to reinforce some of the points that have been made about enterprises that are supporting needs and finding ways to reduce our need for money. And we know how fragile the money system is, and the money system could collapse while we still have the enterprises that are able to provide for our needs. We just have no way of paying people to do the jobs. So the real problem is satisfying needs. You know, if I say work for a certain number of hours in the food co-op, and maybe a few hours in the transport co-op, and by doing that I was also able to get access to all kinds of other community services that the various social enterprises were providing, I would have very little need for money. And it's not a matter of getting jobs and getting money, but getting our needs satisfied, setting up enterprises which do that and do that professionally. There was an interesting comment on the trip up about being a transitioner is someone who's committed to creating this new kind of a world. And so the person who said this was willing to put a lot of time and effort into that because they're creating a different kind of economy. And on the other hand, people need to get paid because they don't really need to be paid, they need to get their need sets. But being paid gives them a commitment. You're not just a volunteer, you're being paid, you are taking this seriously. And this other person was saying, being a transitioner was taking it seriously in the same way. I think it was Rob's peak oil moment lets you realize that you really are serious about it. So it's how do we get our needs met by new kinds of enterprises, and how do we do this collaboratively? So that then we can link up with other enterprises, other social enterprises all over the place, and do it really professionally, driven by the needs and not driven by the need to get money.
So in the last 10 minutes or so we've got for this, I'm really keen that we brainstorm something that we can take away to be really useful. So for example, I'm in a really successful transition initiative that has loads of great projects spiralling off with enthusiasm, but we forgot to include in the budgets paying ourselves, or we forgot to design into the system something like a percentage back. Or I'm a student and I'm excited by transition and scared about the future, and I've got graduate debt and rent to pay. Like, you know, and so there's all these different things. Or I'm an activist and I really want to do this project, but I've never really been very good at business, actually. So, like, what support do we need? That's my question. Garen, I wonder if we could even brainstorm a list. What do we need to support us?
Well,
are you going to say?
What am I going to say? Yeah, I mean, it goes beyond needing just business support. It does require that cultural shift, you know, and I think that's come up a number of times that, you know, there is a sector within the transition movement that feel business is bad or not part of the transition program, you know. And I think we need to get over that cultural shift. You know, spreadsheets and business plans are not sexy. They're not exciting like, you know, developing a reuse centre. But we need to get good at doing those things. And, you know, if we're going to kind of, you know, continue on and survive and flourish, then those are the kinds of tools that might not necessarily initially appeal to us, but they are fundamental and crucial. And just to pick up on the chap's recommendation, you know, questioning about social enterprise and saying, well, what about the public sector, which is kind of an interesting idea, but in the UK we're faced with this government that is actually dismantling the whole public sector. So, you know, that faces another challenge. Do we fight that, or do we just, you know, look to social enterprise as the solution? I don't know.
Just before I stand up, my kind of question on this support front is, if there isn't something already existing, if there isn't already a government program that's helping to support these kind of initiatives, how do we create it, and where does that come from?
That's exactly what I was going to try to say. Was that what is the economy? The economy is us, right? We are ultimately supporting, make the economy work. So if we have our jobs, and I'm lucky to be a professor, so I've got some leeway on directions I can take. And just recently, I've decided to take go into being active in the transition movement by tailoring my job that way. So I got to a point that I could actually hire, I created a green job, basically, to come into the university and begin this initiative to make the university go towards a net zero or a carbon neutral type of university by 2020. So we started the initiative, we just got the funding to be able to do that, but it took 4 years to get to that point. But the thing is that if we can tailor our own jobs as much as possible towards that, and then hire new people coming in out of the colleges that are brilliant and have great ideas, then they're going to be able to make that move even faster towards your goals to begin with, and then they can tailor it towards their goal. So I think a lot of it is the power is right in our own hands. Instead of thinking that with the transition that it's extra time, let's just make your whole time as part of the transition. So. That's the last thing I was...
Yeah, I just wanted to say something, not in terms of what support is needed, but what support is hopefully increasingly on offer through a transition network project called Reconomy, which we started a few months ago. It's still in its early stages, but so many of the things you're talking about here, you know, collectively we're just starting to think about, well, how can we do these things? How can we help existing transition initiatives to build their capacity to stimulate new social enterprise, maybe to set up incubation hubs, or, you know, to get funding in to help with that initial seed money so people can afford to take a bit of time to actually really turn their idea into reality and get support from local professional business people with their business planning, from financial people, from marketing people. And then at the point where they get to saying, well, actually, I need some serious investment now to get my business off the ground, you know, we're also talking about setting up a bigger investment fund, a social investment fund that could then finance those enterprises on reasonable terms. So, you know, I just wanted to reassure you that, you know, there is some work that's going on with this. It is early days, but we're looking to put in place a whole load of resources around this. And we've got some funding in place to help us to do that. And if you're interested, if you just go to the Reconomy project, just the word economy with an R on the end, and find it on the website.
In the beginning, in front.
The word economy.
Yes, thank you. If you just go and find it on the Transition Network website and then you get to a web space, our project web space, you can join that and then you'll be automatically emailed all the updates and things that happen with that. So, yeah, so everyone's very welcome, but it's early days, so you have to be a little bit patient. Yeah.
Even non-Brits.
Everybody's welcome.
What I'd like to see is something like a Transition Dragon's Den or something, or some sort of space where you could go and present your idea to some sort of experts and who could then give you feedback. And, you know, I just think sometimes people have lots of good ideas but just don't know where to take them. Because if you go to business things quite often don't get it because it doesn't, you know, it's not just business, it's a social enterprise.
And their funding is running out.
Yes, but, you know, some sort of Transition Dragon Den would be just fantastic. Some sort of regional gathering.
Final comment from me before I stand up. Week and a half ago, I went to a very interesting local conference called Community Enterprise Now. And it was clear that social enterprises and community enterprises are growing very rapidly, and there's an awful lot of support services for them out there. Quite a lot of it funded by local governments or regional governments. And but then this, Fiona say, talking about this extra role that the Transition is taking on to provide the same kind of support. And I think that might be the most important thing we can do. Mondragon, do people know about Mondragon in northern Spain? A network of cooperatives. And one of the things that makes them particularly successful is all their secondary co-ops. So they provide lots of support services for their co-ops, banking, legal, etc., whatever necessary. So that's... is all part of us becoming a connected community of mutual support people. We're not in competition with each other. The local food project in one town is not in competition with the local food project in the next one. We can work together. We each have our own niches. It's a far better thing. And so we need the next level up, which makes sure that we do it the best way possible. All the best practices is offered all over, and that where any project needs help, that's available, and the network can begin to organize to do that, and is beginning to do that.
Okay, and we've got just a few more minutes left of this part of it, so I'm going to invent a new this process. So I'm going to speed this up now, and so I really want to get captured anything that we feel that would be useful for us, any help we need, or anything we think would be helpful for us to know about, we want to share. And so I'm going to encourage people to jump in and out, and say kind of 5 or 10 words or something, and just do a quick blast. Just the last sort of 3 or 4 minutes we've got to do, okay?
Cooperative Enterprise Hub, if you're setting up a democratic community-owned business, it will be a co-op. They will give you 4 free days of advice. Just Google Cooperative Enterprise Hub. And it will provide employment for a cooperative development body. Well, there's so much demand at the moment.
And unlimited. I found unlimited useful. And I have money for a sort of startup project and money for a project that's been going for about a year to pay the social entrepreneur a wage of £15,000.
What about the idea for a national transition enterprise school?
I mean, I think there's lots of things that we'd all like to see happening, and is there any way of identifying from this conference event 5-6 people who are wedded to this idea from across the Transition Network in different areas to come together and work on this over the next 6 months and to try and build on the ideas that we've all heard and talked about today and try to make them happen?
My little thing was just if your transition initiative doesn't have a business and livelihoods group, It can be a really good forum for bringing business people and people with that kind of background and skills into your group, and it's certainly been really, really useful in Totnes for kind of kicking off and supporting that whole process.
I think it would be interesting to have some kind of forum for transition initiatives that are moving, that have moved through the awareness raising and the groups and begun to set up projects and are moving into a new sort of social enterprise world, so that that kind of sea change is mentored. Maybe a day's conference. Also might be interesting to have a kind of steering group that looks at this agenda for the network and has people who are expert on you know, business models, who are expert on running network organisations, on public perception of social enterprise, all those kinds of things, steering a sort of well-scoped out steering group for that project.
I would just love to see us think about what's a reasonable work week hours. You know, in the United States it's 40 or 50 hours. But if we scale that down to 25 or 30, more jobs are created because people are working less hours, and maybe we could be a little more inefficient in our work, which would spread the work around as well, and stop automating everything, you know.
Coming back to the education point, if in business you can employ people if you've got the idea and the opportunity and the power. Looking at schools, I'm a school governor, there's a strong leadership in citizenship and PSHE, which would love resources on this sort of in this sort of area. So one of the big areas we get involved with schools, working with very keen, dedicated teachers who would lap this up and feed it to the children who are the next generation who will need it.
Mm-hmm. My idea is just a very simple one in terms of supporting, a different way of supporting our young people coming out of university. And that a lot of us are parents, and our children leave the nest, but their rooms are available. And if we could just start a network of making those rooms available for nothing, like we did for our kids.
This ties in with mine. I think we should have a transition lifestyles programme, which would help people set up packages of housing, work, and reducing living costs generally based on social enterprises.
Great. I'm really interested in sort of regional peer support. So, you know, some of us are lucky enough to be in really vibrant, larger transition in communities, and some of us aren't. Some of us might be just five people. And I think it's really important we reach out and support and be supported by our neighbours, what's happening in the next transitive in the area. And so let's create spaces regularly to meet up on a regional level or a wider area level, so we can just share stories, what's working. You know, how's your new social enterprise going? How's that business working? What hasn't worked?
Yeah, I think it's...
That's 2 minutes, guys.
The last thing I was going to say was just to make sure to include an active component in any transition meeting. That, I think, sparks interest. And to make sure it's inclusive. I think it's really critical to include everyone. I mean, we got to have we had a discussion about the suits, the elderly, the more diverse and the more you can bring that in, I think the stronger that group's going to be, more inclusive. You're going to have less resistance, I think, ultimately, if they feel included or feel like it's part of their own. But...
Wow. Okay. Frank, would you like to have the last words, unless anyone else wants to run in the last words as well, please?
Oh, great. It's about partnership, so... I work with loads of partners, and it seems to work quite well. And in our transition group, a lot of us, we don't really do transition all the time. We let other people do it and help them. So I think there's a lot of local independent business people. There's a lot of charities, loads of people doing what we might want to do. But if we just give them a new idea how to make it more transition-y, they can do it for us, I reckon. That's what I want to say.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're about to split up into small groups in a few minutes, just sort of like say anything else we have to say. I just wanted to say, Rob, I think this came from you. I heard that story. Do you want to know how many last words on that at all?
No, I think it's been really fascinating. I mean, I think for me it was really about when you get those two cultures in an organisation. You have the people who are happy doing their the people who are happy doing kind of herb walks and knitting groups, and actually I think you can sustain a group for a certain amount of time with that, but it's not going to be the longer term. And so and you kind of see in some groups where there's people who are very happy with that, and sometimes that culture for it's interesting because part of what I've been doing has been working with Ashoka, who support social entrepreneurs, and I don't come from a background of business or entrepreneurship at all. I mean, when you say, you are a social entrepreneur, and I've never even heard the term before. And the idea that I was an entrepreneur, anybody who knew me previously that would have thought was hilarious. But actually, when you get to spend time sitting down with people who are really good entrepreneurs, it's such an interesting, different way. You know, coming from a very sort of activist-y kind of background, I've never met people like that before. And they go, well, you could look at like that, and you could do that, and you could use that over there, and you could offer that, and you could talk to them, because it's a whole different shift of way of looking at things. And I suppose, really, what my idea was with this workshop was, can we really get that way of looking at things based on transition thinking and transition principles and on making transition happen into what we do? And I think it's been really, really heartening, this discussion, in terms of an openness to that and where it's already taken place.
Okay, so I've only got a few minutes left, unfortunately, so I'm just going to share with you one thing which made me laugh last week, which apparently this is an absolutely true George Bush quote. George W. Bush. And apparently George Bush, apologies to the French, it's not me, but he said, the problem with the French is they have no word for entrepreneur. And it's okay. We've just got So, can we just take 5 minutes to split? I'm going to give you like 20 seconds to work out how to do this. In fact, I've got a problem. I need you to split into groups about 5 people. I don't know how to make you do it. I trust you to self-organise. You've got 30 seconds. Okay, so I've only got a few minutes. If some of you are standing, you're not going to be standing for long. Okay, I've got some announcements to make in a few minutes before we finish off. But before we do that, I would just like to invite people to just say anything they need to say right now, anything they've been inspired by, learn, or just want to say about moving forward. Anything from 1 to 7 words. You do the maths. And just go for it when you feel like saying something. Or actually, put your hand up.
I love the fishbowl one.
Cool.
I'm going to remember that when projects putting grant applications to try and take a slice for the central core transition admin group.
Yeah.
Terrific discussion. Loved it. Going home with lots.
Thanks for holding it so well.
Thank you. On that note, I've got some business cards over there to provide. So the transition businesses, I've tried to align my life with transition, and I need to get paid to do more of it, so welcome to give me a call.
And I'm speaking tomorrow, because they've just had a workshop, so come on to that.
Yeah. Thank you, that's enough about me.
Business opportunity, make them apples into cider and so on. That were in the initial framing of the whole workshop.
Mark didn't hear that.
Make what?
All the framing that started it was we planted all these trees, but now we're going to get serious. Well, let's make them apples into cider and so on.
I think I've really enjoyed the discussion, and I think some kind of incubation space or school, in those loosest terms of the word, for developing enterprise skills transition is a fantastic idea.
Super cool.
The recovery project with Ipswich, it was not going to go anywhere unless I come to a place like this and refeed myself.
Yeah, please.
If you're persistent, you will prevail.
That's it.
Yeah, it'd be really great to get those notes put onto the Transition Network wiki, and I'd be happy to help anybody else who wants to sort of work on putting those up in a more structured format, so that with the wiki, everybody else in the network can contribute and build on the knowledge.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. Just in case I forget to do this in 2 minutes, I'm going to do it now. Does anyone here have a digital camera? Okay. Can I ask you to help me take photographs of these two things and then find a way of going to the media center and just uploading them, or perhaps asking Ed, the big guy that specializes in web stuff and technology, how do I get these photos to be shared from this session? Is that okay? Thank you. Other comments, last words? Let's get
Hannah. Social enterprise lifestyles, brackets, not just a job.
Yeah. I like that.
Better and more lively network sharing and a network around next stages for transition initiatives.
I really like the space and spaces for more challenging conversations like this.
Great, more, just a little bit more.
I like the idea of transitioning together, consumers and demand around the enterprises that are needed to meet those demands, so linking those as a network as a project.
Is this an opportunity for next year to have a question time type? scenario as part of the conference.
Going to leave that question open. I just trust that someone's listening and will remember that somehow.
I wish for good employment for all this younger generation.
For those of you who are listening at home on this audio recording, that was a large silent round of applause. Okay, I think we should just leave it there. So, I've got a couple of things I need to say. So, firstly, was it Christopher?
Ed.
I knew that. Thank you, Ed. Tomorrow morning, there's going to be a plenary session. And that plenary session is going to be 12:30 to 1 o'clock. And we're going to do a bit of sharing. Would you feel comfortable about joining me in sharing something about this session?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Is there anyone else who feels a strong urge to do so? Or if anyone feels a strong urge to do so, can I ask you to come and find me and Ed at the plenary session tomorrow? Stand near us, and we'll somehow find a way of doing that together. Yeah? Okay, cool. So, running out of brain power now. So, after this, we've got, I think, a quarter of an hour break. And then we've got kind of a space where those are kind of more physical, active, fun things happen, you know, not like this boring, serious stuff we've been doing. This is what the fun stuff happens. I've been told I need to announce some things. So, if anyone fancies doing five rhythms, kind of dancing stuff, that's going to go ahead in the conference centre. Now, I'm not quite sure, maybe someone can help me, I have a feeling that might be in this building somewhere. Anyone know that?
It's number 5 on the little map.
Right, thank you for that. Okay, so there's going to be a few things that are going to be outside, things like football, outside sports, and herb walk, all going to be going ahead in about 15 minutes or so. Yeah, and the place to go to meet for that is at the reception. Okay. There's going to be some art. Meet at the pods by the reception area. The pods are the kind of little enclosed spaces where there's lots of things on one wall stuck on, cut out bits of photographs and things and fun things like that. What else? Okay, so it says here, please include a reminder to all that. We've been talking about some really interesting things here, and I know a lot of us. We'll be excited, there's lots of thoughts being provoked. But also, for some of this, this is a really lifelong and deeply important question to us. How do we go about creating successful long-term projects which might sustain me and the people around us, around me? So there is a space, if people want to continue this, then there is a space tomorrow, 11:45 to 12:30. It's called Space for Self-Organising. So just to remind people that, you know, if you feel a need to come back and discuss that, then... Is that where we're coming back to here? Do you want to help me with that?
I think
self-organising wherever you want to go.
Let me just double check that.
It's not
allocated
spaces.
No, I'll tell you what. Okay, the thinking behind that is that we return to the space we want to come back to. Okay. So, if you would like to come back and think about the issues we talked about today, scaling up, there is also another session here today which was kind of connected to economics, business, social enterprise. So, you might have lots of people from the other session as well. So, this might be a good place to come back to tomorrow morning in the kind of self-organized. What do you call it? Self-organized space stuff. Then come back to me tomorrow. I think I've probably just done everything I was supposed to do. I want to thank everybody for being here. For all those listening at home, shame you couldn't be with us, but we'd like to celebrate your joining us, even though you couldn't be here today.